There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Welcome my colleague and friend Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Rescue. Four hostages held since October 7th are now free of their Palestinian captors. Malcolm, a very good evening to you. The news is spectacular, especially because it reveals how it is that these hostages have been abused by families of the Palestinian Hamas these many months. Three of the hostages, all males, were found in one apartment. One, the female, found in another apartment. The IDF pulled this operation off miraculously in the midst of a very crowded part of the Palestinian encampments. As I understand it, the Palestinians came running with RPGs and automatic weapons from the street, firing on the Israeli rescuers. There were many casualties. The logic of this is the casualties were the result of the Palestinian Hamas opening fire randomly in a crowded area. What can you tell me about the significance of the rescue to the Israeli people? I understand that singing broke out.
It was remarkable to see sights like a lifeguard on a beach making an announcement, and the people in the water and on the beaches, everybody started dancing and singing and in the streets. And remember, it's four. There's still 120 whose fate is unknown. But the remarkable nature of the rescue, it was well prepared. They had a mock-up of the building in which they had planned this for a long time to rescue once the information was gotten. And I think U.S. intelligence helped identify the places. And as you said, they were being held with families in rooms that were blocked off. The young woman who was held was let out to clean up after the people were in the apartment, one of whom you rightly identified as an Al Jazeera correspondent and a spokesperson for spokesman for some of the operations, the terrorist operations, and the father, a doctor. The fact that these were civilian families rewarded or themselves took possession of these hostages. They were in relatively good shape. One, the young woman, was rushed back so that she could visit her mother, who was dying of brain cancer and could not fully appreciate the arrival of her daughter, but she spent time with her, and I think with it came recognition. It was the one thing the mother had asked that before she died. She was in stage four, think of brain cancer, that she see her daughter. So it was a miraculous reunion. Unfortunately, one of the other young people who came back, young men, his father died during the night of heartbreak. And people who knew him said that the father just gave up on life. He had been very close to his son and did not know, never really got word. He was the father of Almog, and never got word that his son was freed. And when the IDF came to notify him, they found his lifeless body, which is just an additional tragedy. And as you said, they were in populated areas. They tried to remove them without any civilian involvement. But when they came out, they were greeted with a heavy fire coming from alleys and streets in which civilians also participated. And so you had a death toll from that. It was not the intention. It was not just a random move by the Israelis. It was well planned to put them in a position to be able to rescue the people with minimum damage and notice. And this is The reaction, it buoyed the spirits of Israelis, at least for a day or two, because unfortunately, a very significant individual leader in the army was killed in the operation, a remarkable person known by to many, and they renamed the exercise in his memory. But unfortunately, we still have 120 people being held in these kind of conditions.
And I want to underline the fact that, Malcolm, this is straight up using civilians as human shields. Straight up.
100%.
They kept them with families because they thought that would in some fashion fool the Israelis. It did not. But to go in there and take them out meant that the Israelis were risking the Hamas firing upon them from crowds on the street. And that leads to casualties. So again and again, I want to emphasize that the Hamas have calculated that the Israelis are careful, and therefore that prevents them from operations that ordinarily would be straightforward these last 8 months. We don't know how it is the Israelis knew the hostages were there, but we can presume, Malcolm, that the other living hostages are held in similar circumstances. There's a headline in the Israeli papers right now that the captives have been ordered to shoot and kill the hostages if the Israelis try another rescue operation. I want to emphasize that, Malcolm. We're not talking about dealing with an adversary that is in some fashion a symmetrical warfare unit. We're talking about mass murderers who risk everything in order to advance their goals. And I don't hear anything comparable to that fact from the conversation. It's as if Hamas is the Palestinian version of an army. They're not. They're cutthroats. Why is that not emphasized by the media, Malcolm? Can you tell me after 8 months?
Believe me, it's not for lack of effort to try to get the facts to the people. I think the American people, by and large, read through it and see the lies and distortions. But the unfortunate truth is that every analysis of media coverage shows, including in this regard, CNN's headline said, hostages released, as if this was a Hamas initiative. And the condemnation right away about the deaths of civilians with numbers that were wildly exaggerated, but and all coming from Hamas sources, and yet they don't even identify it. They just say, as a matter of fact, 200, 250, 300 people killed, hospitals full of victims who were used by Hamas as cover, and that they shot from within those populations and tried to stop the hostages from being taken out of the area. They were then helicoptered out afterwards. But you're so right that it only underscores people's lack of confidence in the media about the fake facts that are being presented and the distortions that young people then flock to Washington for a demonstration, which is then heralded as if it was, a demonstration for America, when these people burnt American flags. John, I don't know whether you even saw these stories, but they burned American flags. They praised Hezbollah and Hamas and carried their flags. They extolled jihad. They yelled, from the river to the sea, which is essentially destruction of Israel. They spray painted statues. CARE and Code Pink and other groups like that were deeply involved. These are radical anti-American and anti-Israel, anti-Semitic groups that joined in the sponsorship of this event. And yet none of that is reflected in the stories that were reported from our nation's capital, let alone from the Middle East.
Yes, suddenly the White House has discovered freedom of speech when the demonstrators are clearly anti-Semitic and hostile. It's a frustration, Malcolm. I don't know whether we're going to resolve it here. So let's touch on another story that speaks to the whole Gaza tangle, which is the resignation of a senior member of the Israeli cabinet named Benny Gantz. Malcolm, I believe that's the same Benny Gantz who traveled to Washington quite separately from the Israeli government and conferred with White House officials. Who is Benny Gantz, and what is it that he wants to resign in the middle of a war, right after a very successful rescue?
Well, he actually was supposed to announce his postponement on Saturday night, but postponed it to Sunday night after the news of the rescue. And he was the leader of a party called National Unity Party, and joined after the October 7th terrible terrorist attack. His deputy is Gabi Eisenkot, who was also a director, the director of the IDF, the minister, the chief of staff of the IDF. Benny Gantz was chief of staff. He was also minister of defense and has been a longtime political leader in various parties, eventually emerging in his own. He had set this date a long time ago and saying that there weren't progress on six specific conditions that he said, and therefore set the time for him and Gabi Eisenkot, Chely Trapper, and another former military commander, Avi Rosenfeld, to leave the government. The Bibi's government, the Netanyahu government, will remain because they still have more than 61 votes. But obviously, it makes them more dependent on each of the votes. And the broader coalition reflected a sense of drive for unity in the people while you're fighting a war. So there are people who are upset that he pulled out. There are others who support his pulling out. I think it's internal politics that has broader ramifications. The American government has tried to use Gantz and reached out to him and built alternative communications with him. When they want, especially when they want to pressure Prime Minister Netanyahu. So it's an important development politically, and we'll have to see in time how this what the ramifications of it will be.
All right, two significant events towards the end of June. The 24th, Monday, the Prime Minister is visiting. I believe he's to address Congress. He's been invited to a press conference. And the 28th, that Friday, an election for the new president of Iran. Let's mention the prime minister first. What is it that he hopes to accomplish in this visit, Malcolm?
He's been invited by the Democratic and Republican leaders of the House and Senate to come and give an address. He's the only living political leader to have been invited four times to give an address to a joint session of Congress. I think his purpose in coming is to try to lay out the case for what Israel hopes to do and what it is doing, the legitimacy of its case, and its significance for America. I think there will be opposition. There will certainly be some members of Congress who won't attend, and I'm sure there will be very lively protests outside. The election in Iran is very significant. As you know, the process requires approval by the supreme leader of candidates who, after they go through this special committee made up of clergy and others. And they, out of all the candidates, chose six, including the very hardline Kalibaf, who's the Speaker of the Parliament, as well as other officials. The interesting development was that they rejected the candidacy of the former president, Ahmadinejad, one of our favorites, Sean, over the years. And he again has been rejected as a candidate. So the significance also is that in the special election that will be held, it puts the president in a key position in terms of the selection of the next supreme leader. Raisi, who was killed in the helicopter crash, was seen as a prime candidate along with the supreme leader's son to succeed him. He's not well. He's in his mid-80s. And the significance, therefore, is magnified about the outcome of the election and potential candidates from amongst them for the supreme leadership role.
Malcolm, you tell me there's a new poll about anti-Semitism in America. I believe the poll was taken among Jewish Americans. What can you tell me?
Well, the latest information shows that 7% of American Jews are thinking of leaving the country because they find it so difficult. 80% think anti-Semitism is a serious problem and growing. 80% want to see a strengthened U.S.-Israel relationship. And 42% said that they feel unsafe wearing any kind of a Jewish symbol publicly. which is a very sad statement about the nature of society, the crimes that are being committed. We know the harassment and physical assaults have continued to grow, and it's very troubling that it's reflected in this poll, which is the highest numbers we've ever seen.
And finally, the EU election. The headlines suggest that there's an advance by so-called far-right parties. Any connection whatsoever to the Gaza Strip, Malcolm?
Well, it will have big ramifications for Israel. As you know, Macron has called for snap elections. The Belgian foreign minister stepped down after the results in the European elections. Britain is facing an election. This is a big shift. And the Council of Europe election, which showed growing strength of the right-wing parties, all of these things will have broad ramifications for foreign policy as well as domestic policy in Europe. And part of the shifting sands that we see, the political unrest, the resentment against the Muslim growing Muslim population and fear of the radicalization of those populations, I think these things will have longer term consequences. We'll have to see how it plays out. In England, for sure, it looks like the Labour Party will have a big victory.
Right.
But the parties are all facing internal divisions.
Malcolm Hoenlein, we're going to the dusty one next. I'm John Madden.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.